Thank you for joining us today on the At the Table podcast, where I strive to encourage and equip you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. This week on the At the Table podcast, we're going to look back and reflect on last week's sermon titled No Ordinary Man, and then see what implications this might have for us this week. Without further ado, let's get started. Welcome back to the At the Table podcast, where I am here to encourage and equip you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. I'm Pastor Gary, and let's get started. Today, we're diving into the thought-provoking topic, No Ordinary Man. We're exploring how Jesus was not just a historical figure, but an extraordinary presence who changed the world forever. You know, as we came out of the Advent season and we reflected on the significance of Jesus coming to earth, it's fitting that we returned back to our series, God's Big Story and How You Fit, on Sunday mornings. Today, we will focus on three remarkable aspects of Jesus' life that we looked at last Sunday and set him apart: his teaching, his actions, and his unparalleled mission to seek and to save the lost. Let's jump right in. First, Jesus taught like no other man. Let's first consider how Jesus taught like no other man. His teachings were radical and transformative, shedding new light on God's kingdom. One of the most famous examples of this is in the Sermon on the Mount, which Jesus gave and is recorded in Matthew chapter 5 through 7. He definitely taught a different message. Here, Jesus redefined what it meant to be blessed, turning conventional wisdom on its head. For instance, he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." This challenges us to look beyond worldly success to find true fulfillment in the spiritual humility. Jesus used parables as well, like the Good Samaritan, to illustrate profound truths in relatable ways, urging us and the disciples at the time to love our neighbors, even those who we consider our enemies. You know, in the story, the account, the parable, the Good Samaritan, the one that is an outcast to the Jews, in fact, the one that is hated, is the one that stepped in and gave the example of loving that Jesus reflected on. You know, as I think about this first segment, Jesus taught like no other man, I wonder this: how would I react if a modern-day Good Samaritan showed unexpected kindness towards you? Now, this doesn't have to be something like you getting beat up and someone coming to your rescue. It can be something much simpler than that. Maybe somebody paying for your meal in front of you at the local drive-thru. Maybe it's sending you a card to just say, "I was thinking of you and I wanted to bless you with this small gift." Maybe it's paying for a subscription to something that you just can't afford on your own. Maybe it's covering your car bill. Maybe it's sending a check anonymously. I don't know what it is, but how would you react? Well, I can tell you that in most cases, I have gotten a little defensive and not reacted the way I should have. I get frustrated or maybe put down because of someone trying to do nice. But the reality is that I should respond with the same kind of receiving that is expected. You see, a Good Samaritan is doing something because God has often told them to do it, and we should be able to take that in tow. But let me take this one step further and say, what is God asking you to do today that might be this example of being a Good Samaritan to someone? Now, I'm not telling you that you have to send a large check to anybody, but if you want someone to send that to, feel free to send it to me. But all seriousness with kidding aside, maybe God is asking you to keep your eyes open in your day-to-day life to be a Good Samaritan to someone around you. Jesus taught like no other man. Second, Jesus acted like no other man. Let's discuss this just a little bit more. His life was marked by incredible acts of power and compassion. He had power over the day-to-day. He had power over nature itself. Jesus showed these tremendous acts of power, but the most compelling part was the compassion that was often behind them. Take, for example, the time he calmed the storm at the Sea of Galilee. Despite the chaos around him, Jesus demonstrated his power over nature and with the simple command, "Peace, be still." Also, who could forget about the feeding of the 5,000? Remember, this was 5,000 men, so it was probably upwards of 10 to 12,000 people. Jesus took a few loaves and fish and miraculously fed thousands, reminding us that God's provision defies human limitations, so much so that there was baskets full of food left over. Let me just highlight that one more time. God's provision defies human limitations. But there's more to learn here than just this massive provision. Jesus also told his disciples this, "You give them something to eat." See, initially they came to him and said, "What are you going to do, Jesus? You need to feed them." And he said, "You get them something to eat," signaling that his followers are called to act with love and power in the world just like him. Not because we're special, not because we're able to on our own, but only because of the power of Jesus in us. Consider this. In what ways can you be the hands and feet of Jesus in the community around you? Let that sink in for a minute. Ask the Holy Spirit, what can you do to be the hands and feet of Jesus in the community? Maybe this is watching a neighbor's child while they're busy or not able to, or just need a little bit of extra help. Maybe it's donating and your time and or resources to a local pregnancy center. Maybe it's getting involved in serving meals or loving on people at the local homeless shelter. I don't know what it is, but I believe that God is stirring in your heart already and probably already has been. And at this moment, as we think about this and remembering that God's provision defies human limitations. In other words, don't be worried about what you have. It's not about what you have. It's about who you serve. And when we surrender ourselves and our will to the Lord and say, "God, use me. Use me as your hands and feet," get ready for some profound demonstrations of God's love to be poured out. So Jesus taught like no other man. Jesus acted like no other man. And thirdly, Jesus sought like no other man. His mission was clear: seek and save the lost. In fact, in Luke chapter 15, we see Jesus sharing three different parables about lost items: lost sheep, lost coins, and even the lost prodigal son. Each story underscores God's relentless pursuit of those who have gone astray. Valuable things, a sheep, a coin, a son, all were worthy of God the Father seeking. The parable of the prodigal son specifically is particularly powerful. It shows a father eagerly awaiting for his wayward son to return, a beautiful picture of God's grace, unmerited favor. It reminds us that no matter how far we have gone astray, God longs for us to return. And just like the father who was waiting to see his son in a distance and then ran after him, that is a beautiful picture of the grace of God, the undeserved favor, the unmerited favor, getting something that we possibly couldn't earn and certainly don't deserve. But that is the grace of God. And as I reflect on this, I wonder this question out loud. And maybe this is directed towards you. Is there any area in your life where you feel lost or distant from God? Is there an area in your life where you feel lost or distant from God? Maybe it's an estranged relationship. Maybe it's heartbreak. Maybe it's you've lost a loved one and just feel like God has left you out there all alone. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a diagnosis of cancer. Maybe you just have been so busy that you haven't taken the time necessary each day to pursue God, and you just feel like there's a distance there that shouldn't be there. I want you to remember this statement, that He is always ready to welcome you back with open arms, just like the prodigal son's father in Luke chapter 15. Well, as I wrap up and end our time today, I want to look at the reading and read to you from John 6, chapter 6, verse 60 through 69. And I read some of these verses this Sunday, but I want to kind of go back and just reflect a little bit more. But before I do, I want to get you a little bit of context. I encourage you to read the 15 or so verses before this to get this idea of the hard teaching that Jesus was talking about being the bread of life. And he talks in there about eating flesh and all these things. And, you know, the followers of him just didn't get it. And he was being difficult, I think, because he was just saying that following him is going to be difficult. It's not going to be easy. So reading here, starting in verse 60 in John chapter 6, it says, "On hearing it, many of his disciples said, 'This is hard teaching. Who can accept it?' Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, 'Does this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe.' For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe, and who would betray him. He went on to say, 'This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him.'" Verse 66, "From this time, many disciples turned back and no longer followed him." "You do not want to leave too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. Now catch this. "Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe now and know that you are the Holy One of God.'" Following Jesus is hard. It's not easy. In fact, it's very often countercultural. It will set you apart from the world, and it can cause you to stand out, and at times, it'll cause you to catch persecution. But at all times, and especially in the hard times, let us remember this, that Jesus is the only way. He will provide and protect and even pursue us. Peter, for all his issues, did seem to get it. He may not get it right all the time, but he knew who Jesus was. Let us remember this in 2025. Pursue Jesus with all that you are. Later on in John's gospel, in John chapter 15, Jesus tells his disciples, "Abide or remain or pursue me. Remain in me." And the only reason you do that is because Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. Full stop. As we conclude today's episode, I would invite you to think about how Jesus, this no ordinary man, might be calling you to respond today. Whether it's deepening your understanding of his teachings, stepping out into action, or drawing close to him, remember that Jesus is inviting you, and his invitation is open to all. Thank you for joining us today on the At the Table podcast. And if today's message has resonated with you, please share it with others and subscribe for more reflections and insights to come. You can also help us by liking and subscribing the episode in the show below. Until next time, may you continue to seek, may you continue to act, and may you continue to teach with the love and the grace of Jesus in your heart. I hope this message has encouraged and equipped you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. Until next time, have a great day. You have been listening to the At the Table podcast with Pastor Gary. I hope this episode has left you encouraged and equipped. Pastor Gary is the lead pastor of Grace Community Church in Alliance, Ohio. To learn more about the church, the ministries at the church, or to give to support Grace Community Church, you can follow the links in the show notes or go directly to gccofalliance.org. Have a blessed day.